And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed, it's Advent 4. How many Sundays are there in Advent?
Four.
We're just about done with Advent. The next time we're here, it'll be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I do want us to remember there are themes associated with the Sundays of Advent. The first one, Advent 1, is hope, right? Hope. They're hope, peace, joy, and love. So hope, why are we hopeful? That word of God says, thus saith the Lord, right? We have the word of God, the promises of God that makes us hopeful that a God who keeps his promises has spoken and will do as he says. Hope is week one. Peace, who remembers week two that St. Paul and starts the letter of Philippians, grace and peace be yours. Grace and peace be yours in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I mentioned Paul wrote 13 letters. How many of them start by saying, grace and peace be yours? All of them, right? So that's God's intention for us, is to have the peace of the Lord. Last week, joy. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. That's hard to do with all the things that go on in the world. Rejoice in the Lord always. The emphasis isn't just on the always, but instead of being on our circumstances, the emphasis is in rejoice in the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord and his salvation. So what's today's theme? Love, right? Love. That's a wonderful word. People say a lot about love. Even the world talks about love. It gets kind of confused at times. And I want us to know this, that when the Bible talks about love, it's never an abstraction. When the Bible talks about love, it talks about God is going to do something. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave his son.
It's not a theory. God loves you. How do you know? He gave us his son from heaven to earth to suffer, die, and rise again. That's love. Here's a question for you. Does the Bible use the words God is love? It actually does. Of course, it says it all over the place, but in 1 John 4, it says it just as clear as that. 1 John 4:16, God is love. And again, not an abstraction. It goes on. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. God loves us. How do we live? Love each other. He says this, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There's no fear in love. No fear in love. That's a wonderful verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And then this critical verse, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Got to get that sequence. If the theme is love, when you know God loved you, we love each other. Right? God loved you, we love each other. So, I mentioned during the children's message, I love to say this over and over again. This year, we have had 11 baptisms. 11. That's great. And if I were to say to you, love, and I don't want it to be abstract, I'm going to depict it for you like this. Think of mom holding a newborn baby. What's that? Right? That is love. And that little one looking up, mom who loves and nurtures her. That's love, right? Love is there in that place. It's sweet and it's wonderful and it's tender. We think about that and it's beautiful. Having said that, with that picture in our mind, I want us to ask this question. Will that beautiful, wonderful baby ever make messy diapers?
Yes.
Yes, it will. So here's the follow-up question. Will mother still love that baby?
Yes.
With messy diapers, you love the baby? Of course. Will that baby scream out loud at 2:30 in the morning?
Yes.
Will mom still love the baby?
Yes.
Will dad sleep through that?
Oh, yes.
So I guess it's that way everywhere. Will the baby spit up on your favorite shirt?
Yes.
And you bring that little towel and the baby finds a way to wriggle away from the towel right before it spits up? Do you love that baby? Yeah. So think of that and think, how does God love you? Let me ask you this. Do we do things to disappoint God? Does he love you still? Do we do stupid things?
Yes.
Does he love you still?
Every day.
This is the tough one. Do we do the same stupid thing over and over again?
Yes.
And does he love you? Yes. So we were in Luke chapter 1. I was thinking of all those babies, first of all, because we've had 11 baptisms. But Luke chapter 1, verse 39, 40 to 45, this is a narrative. I want to call this two women, two babies, and one Christ. Two women, two babies, right? Elizabeth. I want us to think about the women. Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and we need to rehearse who they are just for a minute. Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, tells she's a descendant of Aaron. That's a cool thing. She's upright in the sight of God. Don't misunderstand. She's not saved by her works. She's a person of faith who then lives her faith. But what's the number one thing the Bible wants us to know about her? No children. She has no children. She has been praying for children. The next thing the Bible tells us, I think someone said it already, but what is the next detail? Well advanced in years. That's a biblical way of saying what?
She's old.
She's old. How old? I love to ask the confirmands, how old is old? They say 40. They're all failing this year. No. I think she's 80, maybe, something like that. She prayed for children when she was in her 20s. She prayed for children when she was in her 30s. She prayed for children when she was in her 40s. No children. Can she have children in her 80s?
Not naturally.
So naturally the answer is no, but biblically the answer is
yes,
right? Yes, she can, because an angel comes to her husband who has a tiny little faith, right, and gets himself in trouble. But an angel comes and says, your wife is going to have a baby. That's great. Zechariah doubts it, but Elizabeth is a person of faith. Her first comment about it is, the Lord has taken away my disgrace among the people. That's Elizabeth. Let's talk about Mary. 17, 18 years old. Sometimes you hear 14, that's too young. She's 17 or 18 years old. She's engaged. She's betrothed. That's more than engagement, not yet married. The Bible tells us, as soon as it mentions Mary, the next thing it says is to a virgin, right? The angel went to a virgin. 18 years old. She's a virgin. Can she have a baby?
Not naturally.
Yet naturally? No. Biblically?
Yes.
Yes. The angel says, you have found God's favor. You're going to have a baby. So I want us to think about this. Their relatives, the Bible doesn't say hail they're related, but their relatives. Elizabeth is 80 years old. Mary is 18 years old. What do they have in common? Practically nothing, right? They are related. But there's a lot of difference, isn't there, between 80 and 18 and life experiences and the things that you remember. Again, I love teaching confirmation class, by the way. It's one of my favorite things to do. Fifth and sixth graders, I'm 59 years old. So by their definition, I'm old, right? But this is the thing. Their music is terrible, right? I've never heard of those bands. They play something on the phone, and I'm like, I've never heard of that before. So they say, well, Pastor Walt, what do you listen to? And I play something, and they say, who is this Pink Floyd that you speak of? Right? 80 and 18 is a big gap, isn't it?
Yes.
They are brought together by what?
By love.
By the love and work of God, who says to the 80-year-old woman, you're having a baby, to the 18-year-old virgin, you're having a baby, and those two babies are going to be John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. It's a wonderful narrative. Two women, two babies. How significant is John the Baptist? Very. The Bible says, among those born of women, no one greater than John. John is the forerunner of the Messiah. God will send a Christ, but he will send someone to prepare the way, and he will preach a message of repentance. Not everybody turned, but I want us to know this. The great number of people turned. Is that a significant thing? If a nation has lost its way, how hard is it to get it to turn? If I said to you, after church, we're going to drive from here to Charleston and spend a nice afternoon there, wouldn't that be nice to go to Charleston? I love it there. But what if you got in my car and I started driving west? What would you think? You would think, I knew he was clueless. No. You don't drive west from here to get to Charleston. Suppose that I am driving west. What do I need to do? You need to turn around. Does America need to turn around? It does. And the surprising thing is, if you take a poll of Americans, 70% of Americans say we're headed in the wrong direction. Well, there's a conclusion that flows from that. Imagine this. John preaching boldly, preaching about repentance. By the way, he wasn't just preaching about social problems. He was preaching about sin. And he made the nation turn. The Holy Spirit working through him, of course. John the Baptist is a significant baby, but the other baby is Jesus. How significant is Jesus? The Savior. Christ. Matthew 1, verse 21, an angel says to Joseph, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. John is going to preach repentance. Jesus is going to come and save them from their sins. It's huge. This young woman to have a baby, the Savior. And the angel said to Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. But this is what I want us to notice. Years later, these babies have grown to adulthood. John is preaching to the nation. We need to know this. John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. Exactly six months. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 36, it repeats it. John the Baptist, 6 months older. John the Baptist is born. 6 months later, Jesus is born. Who's older? John the Baptist. This is what John preached, talking about Jesus. This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me, his ministry begins after me, but the one who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. John is 6 months older. What on earth does he mean? He was before me. Because Jesus is the eternal God who has always existed. As our Old Testament lesson says, the one from ancient times, that means the one from forever back. John is older, Jesus is greater. Two babies, two women, one Christ. There's nothing else like Jesus. I want us to pull a couple other things out of this text. The first one is this: we value life in the womb. We need to say that. We value life in the womb. When Mary comes in the presence of Jesus, or in the presence of Elizabeth, Elizabeth and the baby detect it, and Elizabeth says, the moment the words of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb. The what? The baby. Not the clump of cells. The baby leaped in my womb. We esteem life in the womb. A baby is there. A human is there. I want us to get this too. We value the spiritual life of children. This is a not yet born baby, and it recognizes the Christ. I just want to point that out. We value the spiritual life of children because sometimes as adults, we think if kids can't verbalize the faith with Latin phrases like I do, maybe they're not as mature as I. Do children trust in the Savior? Actually, children trust in the Savior in a way that Jesus asks us to emulate. The disciples see children and they say, Jesus, make them go away. They're noisy and smelly. And Jesus says, no, let the little children come to me. In fact, you need to be more childlike in your faith and your trust. We value the spiritual life of children. We don't understand everything about it, but we value it. Next, we recognize that the Christ child is our Lord. That's not revolutionary, you know that, but I want to be clear about it. We recognize the Christ child as the Lord. Elizabeth is there, and she says, why am I so favored that the mother of my what? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. She gets it. She confesses right away. Jesus is the Savior. John is great. Jesus is the Savior. And then we get that she urges us to trust in him and nothing else. Blessed is she. She's talking about Mary. Blessed is she who has believed. She's talking about Mary, but she's talking about all believers. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The promises of God are to be believed. So, when the Bible says love, it's not an abstraction. It turns out to be a baby. A baby, the Christ. You are loved. That's what it means. That Jesus has come. You are loved. God loves you. And sent his son and gave him for your salvation. Our gospel this morning was Luke chapter 1, Christmas Eve. We will start by reading Luke chapter 2. And that chapter begins with words, you know. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And those words can be summarized by saying, God loves you. In Christ, God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.